Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
7 o'clock, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. We're with you until 7:45. Sixers Nuggets at 8 o'clock right here on The Fanatic as the Sixers go for their 13th victory at home tonight against Denver. A little payback from their loss in that four-game road trip early in the season. But talk about a little comeback from last night. The Eagles, 23-17 over the Giants, made it harder than it needed to be. As we go to the Comcast Business Hotline, a great Eagle in his own right, a great analyst in my opinion right now when it comes to the NFL and some basketball stuff too. We get into the back and forth with that. My partner on the Birds pregame show every Sunday or before any game, any Eagles game, my guy, join us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jason Avant. Jay, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes as we talk about this game last night. It was a wild one. We all predicted the Eagles would beat the Giants, but not the way that it happened. So if after looking at everything last night, going over it again today, what were your observations of everything from last night?
Man, I think I'm close to the score, Devon. I think I'm close to the score.
Let me look right now as we talk about it. You went with 24-17. Yes, you did.
I'm close. Not all the way, but I'm close.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, the Eagles played really poorly at the beginning of the game, and I expected them to play poorly, both teams to play poorly in the rain. I guess people don't realize, you know, how hard it is to throw the ball and maintain offense consistently in the rain. And if the guy with the best traction just gets loose like the guy did Darius Slayton on Ronald Darby because he was unsure of his footing, and you get loose, miss a tackle, a touchdown can occur. So at the beginning of the game, they were playing really bad. But you know what? That was the most impressive game that I've seen Carson Wentz play.
With
all of the things that was going against the team at the time, with Alshon going out, with Lane going down, with there being one receiver remaining after Arthego Whiteside went down, and him taking a bunch of, tight ends and one receiver down the field and overtime, but also at the end of fourth quarter, and making the appropriate throws, on time throws for the most part, knowing where to go with the football, battling the elements. I was thoroughly impressed. I thought that was, you know, the best second half of a game since the Atlanta game, where the receivers let him down at the end of the game. So I thought that he played outstanding. And people can say, you know, it's the Giants and the Giants up. That's the NFL team. We saw last week that an NFL team can beat you any given Sunday. And they had the recipe for us in the rain, right? They got a few early touchdowns.
Sure.
We shouldn't have been able to come back, but it ended up happening because the guys, you know, fought back and Carson played well.
And just to stay on that, of course, 33 for 50 last night. Carson Wentz, 325, two scores, three sacks, the one fumble loss that we know early in the game. But, Jay, Brian Westbrook and Trey Thomas always talk about Carson Wentz elevating his play to elevate his teammates' play, even though they may not be on that level that we want them to be. And that's what we saw last night late in the game in that fourth quarter and certainly in the overtime as he led them back to their scores.
Yeah, that's an example of what we've been saying, right? You have lesser players. And when you're the dominant player, you can make other people better with your throws, with anticipation, and things like that, putting us in the right play. We saw a bunch of kills last night and getting us in the right running play.
Yes.
It was a really well-played game, and I have to give my hats off to Carson Wentz. And you know what? Doug, at the end of that game, called a good game. I've been hearing all day people are like, oh, what was he doing? And all, you down 14 points and your season's on the line, you have to pass the ball. You have to. And the only thing that the Giants can do moderately well is stop the run. And they limited Miles Sanders a bit, Boston Scott got his own, but if you start to look back at the 50 passes that he thrown, a lot of those passes were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, right? Those were low-risk throws. So I thought that Doug called a good game for the most part. I always say that the only critique I'll have for Doug would be his run-pass ratio. The actual play calls that he's calling NFL players and quarterbacks should be able to pitch and catch, because there's someone open on every play. It's all about if Carson can get to that guy in time, is he reading the defense the right way, and if the receiver can get open. But those are NFL caliber plays that people should get open. So he was able to do that. One play in mind that's ring the bell with me, the play to Ortega Whiteside to give him enough touch to be able to find the football. He beat him clean off the line of scrimmage, but how many times have we seen Carson Wentz overthrow the ball or throw the ball out of bounds in that scenario? He put enough air under the ball, had touch, things like that, anticipated it, and came up with a big play. Extending plays with his legs, the one that we've seen with Zach Ertz, which Zach Ertz did a terrible job running after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are things that Carson did last night that we saw in 2017, and that had our mouths watering of his potential and how good he can be. I thought this was a great win for him, though it was the Giants, which is still an NFL team.
Doesn't matter.
In horrendous conditions, he showed up in the biggest stage on Monday Night Football and delivered a win. This only can help him going forward.
And another big one, Jay, where he hit, I believe it was Ertz in that seam where he was able to get open. And oftentimes we talk about him, whether it's high or low or wide, missing, making the receiver move. He hit Zach Ertz in that seam perfectly to pick up that big play, those chunk yards that we talk about.
Yeah, the chunk yardage down the field, he knew where to go with the football. He knew where to go. Now, if it's a tiny critique is once you recognize the defense, you start to anticipate the throw. So Carson has to see it too long before he pulls the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you start to see color for your defense, for your receiver, and or you see an open zone, just float the ball into that zone so that guy can catch and run. Zach Ertz could have had a touchdown on that play that he hit in the seam if the ball would have been delivered to him in stride, right? So little things like that. Now, I'm over analyzing it because I'm happy we won, but at the same time, like, those are little things that keep Carson, you know, that top 10 quarterback, top 12 quarterback, and start talking about, you know, Dak Prescott and who's better. That's what makes you elite. That puts you in that top five. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys getting older with Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, all of these guys that were, you know, stabilizers for the NFL. They're getting older. Now it's our time. It's Carson Wentz's time. So I want to see him take that next step and start to anticipate throws a little bit better.
Jason Devine joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Devon Givens with you here on the Fanatic. Jay, you talk about the running game and Miles Sanders, 15 carries for 45 yards. The defense playing pretty well on the line of scrimmage for the Giants. He went down with some cramps, and then Boston Scott, as you said, Doug Peterson, trusting what he was doing and adjusting to what the situation was, and he gave them a big boost with 10 carries for 59 yards in the score and 6 receptions for 69 yards. You spoke about having also how to win the game in these conditions, things in the flat screen game, etc., and that's what you got. Boston Scott really played well last night.
Yeah, it was a timely performance, and I thought that he was the hero of the game because you weren't expecting his production. We knew that he had some quickness, some elusiveness, some Sproles like quality and tendencies, but he ran that ball like he was 230 pounds, and he was, you know, 5'10", 5'11". You know, I was just with him at the dinner a couple last week. He's a little guy. He's rocked up, but he's a small guy.
He's like my height.
And, just height, but he plays big. He has a big heart.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what you want, you know, and he came out and played outstanding, and they got to figure out a way when you have receivers down, and this is the perfect storm for Boston Scott, because you got Alshon that's out for the year. You got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which looks like a hamstring, which would be out for a few games. You got Greg Ward, and then you're going to have somebody that they're going to bring in right, or Nelly back next week. It's his time to, now we start to see him and Miles Sanders in the backfield. We start to see, you know, multiple tight ends in the game, which throws teams, that throws teams off, right? It throws you off because you're used to seeing receivers in the game. When you start putting two running backs in the game, you start putting three tight ends in the game at the same time, you're looking around like, what defense do we play against this? Do we play a traditional, you know, 4-3 defense? Do we play with three linebackers in the game? Do we add safety in the game? A lot of teams are going to this 7 DBs and these extra DBs. They're going to get killed in the run game if they have both of those guys in the backfield. So I think it's a perfect storm going forward, him showing that he can play. Now Doug can scheme him up and put him in the game plan consistently, and I don't think it helps our team because he can take over that Darren Sproles role that's been so neglected.
And Jay, a couple of injuries last night, key significant ones for the Birds. Lane Johnson looks like he's week to week, and Alshon Jeffrey, the news came out later that it appears he's done for the rest of the season with a foot injury. So when you look at the receiving core, if Nelson Agholor is able to go, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Josh Perkins maybe mixed in with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, what are you going to do at the wide receiver position, which has already been a problem this season, and also right tackle Vitae, I'm guessing, will be right there next to Brandon Brooks?
Yeah, so the Vitae thing, Vitae is sporadic, right? So I really, like, you're going to have some good plays out of Vitae, you're going to have some bad plays, right? So, but he's not going to get beat every time, right? So,
and it helps that he has the full week of practice, right?
A full week of practice, right? So he's going to do better because he'll have the team, he'll have the team scouted. He'll know who he's going up against. He's going to be able to count steps. He's going to be able to do a bunch of things that an offensive lineman get a chance to do. When you're on the bench, you don't get a chance to see that. But I think with the receivers, with the depleted receiver core that wasn't, you know, the best anyway, I think that you do what you have to do as far as you need to go out and get someone. Right, because Alshon's out, that frees up a roster spot, and you have to, you know, figure out a way to get a player in here that's valuable. I don't know who that is, but they got to figure out who got and get him back here or get him here. And then the other thing is to play small ball, play with. You know, three tight ends, two running backs, and start putting out funky formations. Right? One receiver in at a time. Mm-hmm. Throw tight ends on the outside. Do unconventional things that will throw off the defense and give you an advantage in the run game. So I think this is a perfect time to see how good Doug is, because when you have limited personnel, it shows how good of a coach you are. And I thought he did an excellent job last night. We heard from Carson Wentz that we had guys playing the Z position, the X position, that never played it before, and guys moving all around. And that's a sign of a good coach, because you have to know those plays on the fly. Don't think that Carson Wentz can basically go out there and say, hey, you do this, you do this, you do this. No, that's too hard. So a lot of those guys understood the concepts, and they were able to play well enough to win that game last night, and I expect that going forward. But you have to kind of avoid the receiver position and start putting out more tight ends and using the running backs in the passing game, even split out, because you have guys that are capable of doing that.
Well, before we let you go, Washington up next, and they're 3-10 team right now. What are you thinking early, obviously reacting off of last night's game, but looking ahead to Washington?
Yep. It's going to be a challenge for us going down there to Washington. You know, everyone wants to make us like, you know, this playoff caliber team that only needs to beat the Cowboys. Like, if we're struggling versus the Dolphins, we're struggling versus the Giants, we're going to struggle against the Redskins.
Yep.
Meaning that it's going to be a competitive game. So the Redskins has a very, very scary player in Terry McLaurin. We have to figure out a way to contain him, especially given that Devontae Parker just went off on us, Darius Slayton just went off on us, and Terry McLaurin is looking like, hey, it's my turn to go off on these guys. I'm not as big as those guys, but I can run faster than all of them. So we have to figure out a game plan, a smart game plan, and it's not pressing him, you know, one-on-one. It's putting safety over the top, and we don't like to do that. So I'm curious to see how we're going to cover that. They have, you know, an okay defense, okay secondary. I think that our team will be prepared for, and coming off this type of victory with nobody, I think Carson is only going to get better, because he saw that he can win with not many people out there, and he's the difference maker. He has to believe it. that he's the difference maker. He has to believe that he's the best player on the field. And a game like that last week or yesterday only helps him out. And once he knows that he's the best player on the field, then they'll know that, you know, they're a good team. And I think the game yesterday only helps them go forward to win Washington. So I believe they're going to win Washington, but I think it's going to be closer than what people think.
And we get a first chance to see Dwayne Haskins under center for Washington next Sunday. So, Jay, we'll talk about it definitely on Sunday for our pregame show starting at 10 o'clock live from Parks Casino. Thanks so much for some time tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Have a good night and go Birds.
Jason Navarre, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Join us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Great stuff from Jay as always. And if you have not heard him on the pregame show with Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, and myself from Parks, do yourself a favor. You just heard that in about 15 minutes there. He is fantastic analyzing the game. Oz, you'll be first. 610-632-0975. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Oz, we'll get you on the other side. Everybody else, 610-632-0975 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, 7:23 right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you for just about 20 more minutes. Here on The Fanatic, again, special thanks to Jason Navarre for taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us to talk some birds. And we are doing that again with Oz, who has been hanging on from Norristown. Oz, we really appreciate you hanging on, man. Thanks so much. You're next up on The Fanatic.
Awesome. Not a problem. I have a quick question. What do you think about maybe going after a guy like Dez Bryant for the wide receiver corps?
Only problem with Dez Bryant, and I'm not worried about the Cowboy thing, you just haven't seen him in 2 years, right? He had the injury with the Saints after they picked him up right away during that week of practice, and we haven't seen him. So So I look at that and say, I don't know what he has. That's where, Oz, you would have to look at a workout situation that the Eagles would have for Dez Bryant.
There are rumors of him going to the Patriots, possibly.
Really? I haven't seen that.
You didn't hear about that? Okay. I heard about it like 3 days ago. So I was wondering, like, maybe trying to scoop him up while he has a chance.
Well, I mean, listen, I always liked Dez Bryant from afar. Even though he was a Cowboy, I couldn't stand the team. But talent, you recognize talent, you give respect to what talent is. Again, just the issue of I don't know who he is. Give him a workout. If they find it in them, Oz, to get a workout in with him, a possession guy, really, right? Not necessarily a speed guy. It's probably better than what they have if he is healthy and has been working out, staying ready, staying in shape, and getting ready to get back on the field for some team. I wouldn't be opposed to it. If they make the move, they do it. They're desperate. And you just heard Jason Navarre say, I don't know who it is, but they need to do something.
Yep. Thank you.
No problem, man. Really appreciate it. We're gonna hear these names until they do something. Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, Torrey Smith already told them no, Jordan Matthews, maybe Mike Wallace, J.J. Nelson. These are the names that we're probably going to hear over the next couple of days until they officially make some sort of roster move for their wide receiver group. Because right now, even though Jay said go big, throw defenses off a little bit, you still want to at least have some talent at the receiver position out there to present a problem for defenses. Because right now, the people that you have out there, they're not going to get it done. They're just not going to get it done. One more thing that I want to pick on before we get to our next break and our final segment before Sixers Nuggets basketball is Jake Elliott. Another one. You were perfect all season long. You signed a new contract. Now you miss two in back-to-back weeks. Back-to-back weeks, right? Yeah, missed in Miami and missed this week. What's going on, Jake Elliott? What is going on? I understand kickers are tough to come by, and they only have one job. Make sure you make your field goals, your extra points, kickoffs. Don't kick them out of bounds. We know what the deal is. Kick it out of bounds on kickoffs where there's no possibility of a return. I like Jake Elliott. However, his inconsistency has bothered me over the last couple of seasons, and I don't even look at field goals anymore when he kicks. It's one of those superstitious things where I have to look away because I'm afraid if I'm looking, right? If I'm looking, he's gonna miss it. But it doesn't matter because now he's getting back to those ways where he misses again. Now, there are only two missed field goals, I know. But at this stage, with who they are, the Eagles, and what they're trying to accomplish, the personnel issues that they currently have, when they are in position to kick a field goal and get 3 points, they need, in caps, they need all three of those points. They cannot afford to have these missed field goals by Jake Elliott. He has to be better. Just call it for what it is. He has to be better, Jake Elliott. So, Jake, if you're listening, I'm like Jason Peters. No more, bruh. No more. They need all of those makes. Every last one of them. So let's get it together. You signed that contract for a reason. Because they believe in you to be a capable, more than capable, and reliable kicker when it comes to these field goals. Make your field goals, my man. He has done the last 2 weeks and missing those field goals. On the phones, 610-632-0975. We are upcoming on our final segment on the other side. I was reading the story also earlier before we go to break where Tim McManus wrote a story about Josh McCown and his two jobs. Backup quarterback for the Eagles, high school coach, head coach, high school football. He almost picked up a third job as receiver last night for the Birds. They were in such a tough spot last night that even though they had Josh Perkins to help out as a quote-unquote receiver, even though he plays the tight end position, we know he can, you know, play decently out there, that Josh McCown had to get ready to switch helmets to go out there and help out as a wide receiver. How about that? I wish Miles Sanders was healthy last night. And I heard people say, I wonder if Miles Sanders was healthy, would he have been able to make the same plays that Boston Scott did? I would like to believe that, yes, because we've seen that he is the only playmaker that they have. Make people miss, that type of thing. I would like to think so. But in the event that he was healthy and you have both Scott and Sanders available, and I like when they had him in the backfield both at the same time, you would have just simply had to use him as a wide receiver for quite a bit last night. One of the two. Mix it up a little bit to throw off the Giants' defense. And maybe we'll see that going forward as well, depending on what they do with the wide receivers. I'm hoping that Josh McCown does not have to play that position next week, the week after, or the week final against the Giants. Let's hope not. 610-632-0975. Final segment on the other side. Don't forget, D.D. Gregorius, 1 year, $14 million deal signing with the Phillies.
Love it.
Shortstop, pretty good. Pretty good right now. Now, what happens with Segura? Do they make a move for Bryant? Where does Kingery play? A lot of good questions, but a good question, a good problem to have if you have that extra talent. Therefore, the Phillies, the Pro Shop has arrived, guys. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports theme merchandise and apparel at discount prices. That's open for browsing now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. That's the Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5 thefanatic.com. Final segment, Sixers basketball coming up at 8. Brian Seltzer with the pregame coverage at 7:50. We'll take you right into that right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.97.5 The Fanatic. Final segment for us before we hand things off to Sixers.com's own Brian Seltzer with the pregame show here on The Fanatic. Tom McGinnis with the game call at 8 o'clock. Let me tell you about the Fanatic deal of the week. This week only, get one peak day ticket to Blue Mountain Resort valid Wednesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays during the 2019-20 season for just $40. Blue Mountain is the home of PA's highest vertical, the most varied terrain, and some of the longest runs in PA. Check it out now at 97.5thefanatic.com. Hurry, this holiday deal is only available for purchase now through Sunday or while supplies last. Okay, Sixers coming up next. Real fast, Geronimo at Uncommon Sense 78 says on Twitter, when Dylan put up the tweet that Jason was going to join us, he asks, can they discuss why they cut Jordan Matthews? Dylan and I were just talking about that in the studio because we were talking about the receivers. Dylan says maybe they'll just bring up Mark and Michelle. We saw the touchdown in preseason. That speed might be there. We don't know how it would translate to an actual NFL game instead of a preseason game. But the idea, again, that the speed might do something for them. Everyone else is basically, at this point, a possession receiver. A slot guy for Aguilar, he has speed, but can he catch the ball when it is delivered to him? Then you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, possession. Greg Ward has a little bit of speed, but really a possession, smaller guy. And then your tight ends. And that includes Josh Perkins also. So Jordan Matthews, Dylan just said, well, they cut him, so I doubt that they bring him back. And everyone else, the caller just pointed out, how about Dez Bryant? We're going to keep hearing these names. And Dez Bryant, I don't think, we just haven't seen him. Signed with the Saints, was it a hamstring, I think it was, or the Achilles? One of the two. With Dez Bryant when he signed with the Saints last year. We just haven't seen the guy. So I have no clue what he can even contribute to a team at this point. So I'm not really looking at him as a possibility. Sixers, as they get ready to take on the Denver Nuggets, 8 o'clock tip. It was flexed from a 7 o'clock start, which it was previously, to now an 8 o'clock start tonight. Nationally televised game. 76ers 17-7, 12-0 at home. So they're looking to remain undefeated after taking on this 14-7 Denver Nuggets team. It was not that bad on the road, 6-4 against these two teams. The last time these two teams met, right? The last five games, by the way, the Sixers are 4-5 for the 76ers in their last six. Their last seven, they are 6-6 of their last seven. They're actually not that bad. They've only lost two since November 17th, so it's not terrible. We just hate how they lose. The last time these two teams played was Friday, November 8th, a 100-97 loss to the Denver Nuggets on that night, led by Embiid with 19-15 on the evening. And if you remember, once again, that's when Jokic just took over in the fourth quarter, and it was just ridiculous how things played out. Ben Simmons was out with that injury, if you guys remember, the shoulder injury that he sustained in the game against the Utah Jazz. The Denver Nuggets was the final game of that road trip, and you didn't get much from anyone outside of Embiid. It was a good team effort where the Sixers were up, but 35 points in the fourth quarter for the Denver Nuggets to 13 for the 76ers. They fell by 3 points to the Denver Nuggets that night. Brian in the Northeast does want to talk about the Sixers before we get to Brian Celsius. So let's check in with Brian next on the Fanatic. Brian, how you doing, man?
Good, Devon. Hey, D-Man, love your show. You're just always real, real with things, and I love that about you.
Thank you, man. Trying to be. Thank you.
Two real quick points. Embiid, 8 turnovers the last time we played Denver earlier this season, mm-hmm. right? Can you think about revenge this early in the season against a team like that?
Yes, because you don't play them again unless you possibly meet them in the NBA Finals. So, absolutely.
Okay. So, the other thing is no Ben that night, right? So, how big of a difference does he have tonight for an impact on this game? I mean, Embiid had 8 turnovers in that last meeting.
Yes.
So that kind of leads into my next point. I'm going to hang up and let you talk about it. But ball control for this team as far as turnovers, that's what scares me this season, that they don't take care of the rock. And if we continue down this path, to me, that's a scary proposition with this team, man. They got to learn to take care of the ball. And I appreciate you, man. Take care.
You got it, Brian. Thanks, man. It's a common theme over the Brett Brown era that these turnovers are an issue for the 76ers, and they have to fix it. Bottom line, as you said, 8 turnovers in that Nuggets game. 8 turnovers in 29 minutes for Joel Embiid. 8 turnovers when we look at the 76ers and what they do out there on the floor. Remember the other night where they had 8 turnovers for Embiid, 7 turnovers for Simmons in their 119-113 loss to the Washington Wizards in Washington. Can't have it. And to Brian's question of Ben Simmons and what he's going to mean defensively, well, Jamal Murray, we can't forget that Josh Richardson is back tonight. So with Richardson and Simmons out there, Jamal Murray and Will Barton, I'm thinking that's where their focus will be defensively with those two guys, Simmons and Richardson out there on the perimeter on those two who had a solid game. 20 plus points each for those two in their first matchup. 22 for Murray, 20, pardon me, for Will Barton in that game. So holding those two down, keeping an eye on what else you do with Gary Harris, not letting him get off. Paul Millsap, the same thing. So I think Ben Simmons will play a big role defensively against this Denver Nuggets team led by Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic tonight here at the center. I'll be back after the game, and the post is going to be an abbreviated one, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.